Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. Be future ready with a pension powered by Zurich's award-winning investment performance.
Now imagine a world where tiny machines are inserted into the body, then travel to the site of diseased or damaged cells or organs and repair them on the spot. This might sound like science fiction, but this has now become science fact, and researchers in Ireland are at the forefront of this nanoscience machine revolution. Sean Dukes, science journalist, is with me. Sean, you're very welcome.
Thank you.
To explain how all of this is going to transform our lives and enable us to live longer and crucially healthier into the future. But it's not just a science of today. This goes back.
It does, Mary. It goes back as far as the mid-60s anyway, when the concept of these tiny machines being put inside the body to repair organs was popularised in the 1966 Hollywood film some may have seen, Fantastic Voyage. Still shows up regularly on our TV screens. And the story, for those who haven't seen it, involves this submarine crew being shrunk down to microscopic size, inserted into the body of this comatose famous scientist who had figured out himself how to shrink things. And the mission is to repair his brain, save his life, ensure the technology stays in the US and out of Soviet hands. So it was very far-fetched at the time, of course, but the movie inspired researchers in the decades that have followed to think about how real-life nanomachines might be built in reality to enter the body where they could fix real health problems. Now, the field only really started to take off about a decade ago when researchers, interestingly, many of them from engineering telecommunications backgrounds, started to figure out how to build these tiny nanomachines that could be connected then to an internet network, if you like, inside the body and to devices outside the body.
And researchers based here in Ireland at the TSSG Research Centre at Waterford Institute of Technology, they're among the early pioneers in this field.
They are, Mary. Dr. Sastharan Balasubramanian, the pronunciation, is Director of Research at the TSSG. There are about 500 researchers working in this field around the world, and Dr. Balasubramanian is considered one of the research leaders. And I caught up with him this week and I asked him about the field and its origins. He dropped into the RT studio in Waterford and this is what he told me.
Then what actually happened was around mid-2000, the field of molecular communication started by communication engineers, and their whole objective was to see how nanomachines could actually communicate with each other, pretty much using fundamental theories that we know in communication engineering and networking, especially wireless communication, and trying to apply them to miniature devices that can actually communicate with each other and using molecules. And so one very good example of such a nanomachines is actually biological cells, because all the components inside pretty much resembles like a computing device. So in the very same way you can engineer a computing device to communicate with each other, you can then engineer these biological cells to also have specialized communication between each other. So that's how the field started.
Okay, and Sean, if you get these little devices, these tiny devices inside the body, how are scientists going to control them and get them to where they're needed, get them to where they should go to fix disease or to repair damage?
Yeah, well, interestingly enough, Mary, the problem of connecting the devices to one another inside the body and to the outside has largely been solved, I'm told. The engineers for the past 10 or 15 years have established communication protocols, like the internet protocols, for what they're calling an internet of bio-nano things. So there's active work now on how the information from the network of devices might be transmitted and shared outside the body. There's lots of ideas. One idea being developed now is to use a kind of a tattoo that would sit on the skin of a person, gather information from the nano devices transmitting information inside the body. The electronics in the tattoo would convert this information, which could then be sent in electromagnetic form to via the net. Then you have a doctor who could go into a secure app, look at the data coming from the nano devices, assess the health of their patients, see if there's anything abnormal, and make clinical decisions based on that.
Okay, this is it's quite extraordinary. Back to the scientists in Waterford, in the TSSG there, or elsewhere for that matter, have they got to the stage where they're doing it, where they're fixing real health problems?
Amazingly, yes. They've started to take big steps in that direction. Recently, the last 6 months, they developed nano devices for post-op treatment of a brain cancer, glioblastoma. Now, Dr. Frances Cleary, she's another member of the research team at the TSSG, and she explained how this anti-cancer nanotechnology will work.
So I suppose here we're looking at how the researchers initially look at engineered cells and how they can look at, I suppose, including these or merging these cells into the brain close to the point where these brain cancers are prevalent and active. And they're controlled externally and then through electronic wireless signals, and then they can actually produce molecular cells, which actually then they're called exosomes, and they're actually actively work towards the use to detect and treat cancer.
Dr. Frances Cleary there, outside of Waterford and the TSSG there. Have we other scientists in Ireland engaging in similar work?
Very few that I can find, but I think this is going to change in coming years because it's such an exciting field and it's opening up. One scientist, though, that I found who is working already on this is Dr. Cathal Kearney. He's a lecturer in anatomy and regenerative medicine based at the RCSI, Royal College of Surgeons in Ireland, in Dublin. Now, it should be said at this point that nano devices can either be synthetic, they're entirely man-made, or natural. These are normal cells that have been altered for some purpose. And the nano devices that Dr. Kearney and his team are working on come under the category of the natural nanomachines. And essentially what the RCSI group have done is they've created DNA-based, we know DNA, nanomachines that can carry a chemotherapeutic into cancer cells, like a Trojan horse, if you like, and destroy them from inside. This type of DNA is commonly called DNA origami in the science community, because the way it works is the DNA is folded and folded again until it's in the right shape to do the job that's required. And then you get your DNA origami, you deliver it to the site of a cancer tumour, in this case via injection in a gel, because it's still difficult to control these nanomachines over long distances inside the body. But in coming years, it's expected that this DNA origami will be developed on other nanomachines that can move around inside the body to where they're needed via controls outside the body. So in any case, I caught up with Dr. Kearney at the RCSI, and he told me how this work he's doing might be of benefit to people with cancer who do not respond to chemotherapy.
Certain cancers or certain cells become resistant. They no longer the effect we expect to see from the chemotherapy. We no longer see, and that's because the cells adapt to reject the drug or to pump the drug out in some way. So what this nanomachine that we've designed with Professor Carlos Castro can do is it can avoid that pumping mechanism and get the drug to where it needs to go. So this is where the name, the Trojan horse name, came for the drug, because you can kind of sneak it into the cell and kind of cheat the cancer and then ultimately aim to kill the cancer cells.
Where is it all going, Sean?
Well, in the near term, Mary, scientists tell me that the nano devices will be used to target and treat people with chronic diseases like Alzheimer's, diabetes, epilepsy and Crohn's. Now, beyond that, the idea is to use them to help everyone, even people that are young, healthy, to stay healthy and live longer. So it'll be like the ultimate personalised preventative medicine, because the machines will be built and engineered for the needs of each of us, each individual. So we'll have our medical needs assessed, and nano devices built for us, which we might just swallow, and they last a long time inside our body. And the ultimate goal of all of this is for the nano machines to become fully automatic. So quite amazingly, what will happen then is that they'll be moving around on their own inside the body, treating, identifying, targeting and killing any kind of disease that's going to hurt us. And the scientists in the field talk about the point of full automation, sounds Hollywood, which will happen sometime between 2025 and 2030. And that's going to entirely change the face of medicine, because it means that people will simply not be getting sick like they used to, and that these nanomachines hopefully will ensure we live as long and healthy as we possibly can.
We will look forward to it. Sean, thank you very much for joining us.